हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम राम, राम हरे हरे। यस हरे कृष्णा। यो हरि बोल दीपाली, थैंक यू फॉर ज्वाइनिंग। सो वी आर ऑल्सो लाइव ऑन यूट्यूब एंड वी आर ऑल्सो लाइव ऑन दिस कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल, सो इट विल बी रियली नाइस इफ फॉर द सेक ऑफ। Yeah, so my request to everyone who's joined this conference call or who's joined, I mean, YouTube doesn't need to do that, but whoever is joining through the phone, I request you to mute yourself because it's going to, or it's going to get, you know, I'm going to get a lot of echo and a lot of, you know, recording issues and a lot of problems with that.
Yeah.
So please mute yourself. Yes, thank you so much. And we're live now, so we welcome everyone to this session on Bhakti, Womanhood and Homemaking. Very, very grateful to all of you for joining this session. And this is the first time we are trying to stream this whole thing live on YouTube. This is our first attempt to do that. So if there are any hiccups, please feel free to use the text area. Like, you know, there's a place where you can message us and you can give us, you know, if you're having any issues, and we will try to resolve it for you. So we're very grateful for you to join this particular session, and we will begin with explaining why we chose to discuss these topics. So we're a group of women in the Seattle congregation, and we are a group of about 8 to 10 ladies that do different activities and different you know, things that help, you know, for supporting women and also for supporting the girls in our congregation, and you know, to help them grow into wonderful young women. So in the summer, during their summer vacation, we had done a nice course on home science because we felt that our children were learning very well in, they were doing extremely well in their academics, and we felt they were extremely good even in their scriptural knowledge. And what we felt is that we felt it important to impart them, to impart some of the life skills to them. So like growing up, I don't remember being trained in how to being a woman. I remember watching other people and learning behaviors, but I don't remember being trained like that. And I don't remember being, I mean, whatever we learned by watching and by some instructions that came from our parents. But I personally felt that once I grew up, I was really not prepared to deal with the world, deal with, you know, family relationships, community relationships, deal with my husband, deal with all the responsibilities that, you know, that I, as a woman, you know, was expected to do. And I struggled, and I personally struggled, and all of us who are working together over here in trying to bring these programs for women also felt in the same way. And then we felt that we want to provide these kind of, you know, sessions and seminars where we can openly discuss these things and also understand the science behind some of these duties and some of these roles and, you know, how do we overcome the challenges and things like that. So we did something for the girls in our congregation from the age group of 8 to 15. And just to prepare for the seminar for them, we had to do a lot of research. And we presented only four basic topics to them. And while we were doing the research and while we were trying to understand, you know, womanhood and the duties of homemaking from different cultures and religions and, you know, our own faith of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti yoga, based on the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we found that it was an extremely scientific and a very perfect system that was designed. And gradually, because we couldn't present everything to the children, we felt that, you know, this is a science that must be presented, and we want to present it to, you know, grown-up women and see if it is of any value for them. So a few things that I would like to clarify before we get into a lot of, you know, details on what we're going to discuss today. The entire goal of the seminar is to present to you, more on things that, you know, we're not here to tell you what to do, and we're not here to tell you that this is what you have to do and what you're supposed to do. We're here to share with you the principles and the foundational, you know, the foundational basis from where all these duties originate and where these expectations from women originate. And what is the benefit? You know, we felt a benefit while we were teaching it to the children and trying to apply it in our own lives. And we felt a very strong benefit in trying to apply these principles in our own life. So what we are here to share with you is that, hey, this is what has been specified. This is what is being, you know, described here. And these are the positive benefits of, you know, doing it. And these are the negative results of, you know, not doing it. And then we also want to provide to you, like share with you that, you know, what kind of social structure and what kind of community is needed for anybody to be able to perform their duties properly. So we also want to share with you that, hey, this current, you know, the way the world is going right now and the current culture and the system and the expectations and the psychology and everything is not very supportive of, you know, people who are really trying to sincerely follow certain things. So how do we address that gap personally for ourselves so that we can try to follow these timeless principles? And ultimately, the choice is for each one of you to see how, you know, this seminar is going to help you develop a vision for your own homemaking and your own womanhood, and how you're going to impart that to your children and to your, you know, to the next generation, and how you're going to impact society based on what you've learned. And what you pick up from this is entirely, you know, each to their own choice. We're not here to, you know, put any kind of pressure, like, you know, we have had so much pressure in the past. All of us would have experienced in some way that being a woman means this, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. No, that's not our job. Our job is just to share the knowledge. And, you know, this is an adult education program where people choose and they learn and they apply, they experience the benefits, they feel more inspired, and then they apply more. And, you know, then that's how the cycle goes on. So without further delay, just a few more things. You know, since we're doing this on YouTube Live and we're doing conference call, I'll really request, again, people on the conference call to put yourself on mute. And also, what we're trying to do is we're going to cover some topics today, you know, more like an orientation today for the first, you know, like a major part of the session between 11:30 to 12:30. And then we want to have about 10 to 15 minutes for some kind of questions. So at that time, I'll open up, for people to, share their things on the conference call, like any questions they have. And also for people who are on YouTube can do it through chat. I am watching the chat as you are typing it out. So without further ado, we'll move to the next slide. And people who are on YouTube can watch the slideshow. And for people who are on... Okay, for some reason the slideshow refuses to go further. Just give me a minute till I fix this thing. This is what happens when you use new technology for the first time. Okay, this refuses to go further. I'm sorry about that. Okay, can I, YouTube people, can I just stop the stream and start it again so you won't see it for a few minutes and then you'll see it again? So give me that time. Just give me a minute. So we're back now, and so this entire seminar, we're trying to base it on the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and we're trying to follow His teachings to the best of our abilities. And today's discussion, we're going to talk, these are the summary points of what we're going to discuss today. So first we're going to introduce, what this entire project of Bhakti Women is all about. Then what is the purpose of the seminar? Who is the audience? Like, who all would benefit from this seminar? And what are some of the principles that we're all trying to go to abide to while we are participating in this seminar? And then the basis of the entire presentation that we will go through over the next few weeks. And then a very important question. Well, we're learning about homemaking, but what about training for men? And what about, how can we be supported and, encouraged in our duties when we don't have supportive men and we don't have a supportive environment around? And we really appreciate that thought, and we really understand, the difficulties that can come by having, by not having a supportive environment around. And then what are the barriers, apart from the training, the lack of training that has been imparted to men, what are the other barriers that come to a woman wanting to do these things properly? And how we can overcome that, which we will cover throughout the course of the seminar. And then we're going to discuss all the different topics that we're going to cover. And each week we will advertise it. Each week we will advertise the topic. So if it works for you, it's something interesting for you to enhance your homemaking, please join us. So what we do at Bhakti Women is basically we... as we discussed, we all had these needs and we felt that we didn't learn it. And then there's also this need for some kind of, association with like-minded people and discussion and some kind of development of support groups. So we started these women's programs, and the idea is to care for the whole person of the woman. So it's not just her spiritual life, but we understand that the physical health and the emotional health of everyone, and especially of women, is very, very important for their spiritual growth and development. So we do a lot of different programs to cater to that. We do a lot of different programs to inspire women to, achieve their sense of purpose in life and to, reach their zenith of their capabilities. Like Prabhupada explains in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that, the soul is much, much more powerful than the sun. And, we are souls in a woman's body. And Prabhupada tells us that our souls are much more powerful than the sun. So, what it is to achieve that potential and how we can achieve that by engaging ourselves in the process of bhakti yoga. And we also like to empower women, take up different services, take up different things, leadership roles, and different things that they would feel inspired to do and contribute and, achieve their sense of worth. And also, a very important consideration of these activities is to help women find their point of connection with Lord Krishna. So the idea is that each one of us has a unique purpose and has a unique interest and a unique, we've been blessed by Lord Sri Krishna with various unique abilities. And if we learn how to connect those unique abilities and also according to our likes and dislikes in the service to Krishna, that really helps us deepen our connection with the Lord. Because the more we do something we like and we dovetail it in, serving the Lord and His devotees, the further we make more advancement and we feel very happy also. Now, to do all of these things, we have different workshops and tools. We have different creative arts programs. And we also do that. We achieve those through women's circles, Sakhi Sangha, that we run in Seattle. And we're trying to help start some of those up working with our friends to start those up in Pittsburgh and also in Kolkata in India. We did some programs there. And we also have a website, bhaktiwomen.org, where you'll find a lot of resources. We have a YouTube channel. And the idea is to create association for women either through the articles on the website or through the YouTube videos or through the different meeting programs that we have. So a few tools that we have developed, we have these different workshops and tools for women. So we're not here to say that, a woman is only to be married and only to be at home. We understand that the way, society is right now, there are various challenges and various different, statuses of women. So we want to provide, and we have been providing a lot of workshops and tools for, single women, for working women, married women, pregnant women, mothers, helping women plan for their retirement. No, we're not talking about 401k plans, or we're not talking about, how to build your wealth, but we're more talking about, this from the spiritual side of things. And then, of course, education on home sciences and family welfare and taking care of the body, mind, and spirit. Please go to our YouTube channel. Please go to our Facebook page. Please go to our website for any resources you would like to get. All of this is supported by the Vedic Cultural Center in Seattle, in Sammamish. And we're very grateful to the team of volunteers and the team of women, about 8 or 10 of us who are working. And any one of us wants to join us, in doing this project and taking it further, please let me know. Having done a good ad on Bhakti Women, so we now get to the next point. Like, what is the purpose of this particular seminar that we're trying to do? As we already discussed, is to enable women to develop in themselves a strong vision for their own home environments. So what you learn here, you're going to learn here like the scriptural and scientific basis of all of these aspects of different homemaking and the positive advantages that those give. And how you apply that in your life is going to be unique to your, home situation and your family situation, your work-life situation, and, different things. Each one's life is very unique. So, we are here to share principles, and everyone can, see how they can apply those principles in their life. And if there's any discussion that somebody needs on a personal basis on how that can be done, we are very willing to provide some time for that outside of this, 1 hour that we have every week. So please feel free to contact us on Facebook or call us up. We will share all those details with you. And the audience is, as we said, women of all ages, cultures, and statuses. So why do we say all ages? Like, you know, there might be women who are like 60 or 70 years old. And, you know, what is the benefit of this seminar for them? The benefit of this seminar is that they have already anyway experienced a very rich life of doing their duties in a wonderful way and, you know, being the, you know, supporters of their family and, you know, and doing so many unique things in their life. Why would it be advantageous to them is because it can help them give training to the next generation. You know, if they know the reasons behind it, probably all of them already know, but this gives them a stronger scriptural basis based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And young women and older women and, you know, women in the throes of homemaking right now, I'm sure you see the advantages, and that's why you have joined this call. And this is also across different cultures, because what we're doing is, what we're sharing here is from the platform of the soul. And this is going to be beneficial across all cultures, because all cultures have people who are spirit souls, who are embodied. And so these principles are timeless, what we're trying to present. And they can cut across all different genders, generations, and socioeconomic boundaries, because these principles are also similar. Like, we've been reading a lot of books on Chinese womanhood and Greek womanhood and Native American womanhood and also American womanhood. You know, in American Women's Home, we have a book lying on our table right now. So we're comparing what we've learned in the Vedic tradition through the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam with all of these different cultures. And what we're finding out is that, you know, these cultures basically also have the same principles for womanhood. And these things are timeless. And we will see that why, as we go through the course of the seminar, we will be presenting different examples from different cultures and religions to show how things are similar and what is the wisdom behind that. I'll just share an anecdote here. Like, you know, I was advised by when somebody to read, you know, from the Mahabharata, from the Anushasan Parva, chapter 146, where Goddess Parvati is describing the duties of a woman. So I was reading that and I found it very interesting. And when I was reading that, I found that there is such an amazing correlation with what she's telling from another book that I've read. You know, when I compared it with that, that book is also lying on my table. And that is, the book's title is The Chinese Book of Etiquette and Conduct for Women and Girls. Instruction for Chinese Women and Girls. And I found it so similar. So we will try to present some of those things to you also. And we say different statuses also, like different women from different walks of life, whether they're working women or they're homemakers or they're single, never married, single, married, separated, single, moms with children. This is going to benefit all of you because the principles of womanhood cut across those different statuses also, because finally we're all souls in this woman's body. Something is similar amongst all of us. And all these duties have been given us to enable us to achieve our best, whether it's at our work life or at our home life. Now, some of the principles that we would really request all of us to keep in mind as we go through this seminar is that, you know, we request you all to, you know, and myself also, like, you know, we want to have some open-mindedness here. Like, many times we have seen that, you know, there are these descriptions of duties, but as we've gone through our life, we've seen a lot of cruelty that has been done by some male authorities or female authorities, you know, over the subordinates, you know, by misusing the concept of duty, but actually, you know, trying to abuse them. And that makes it very difficult for us. You know, those people have misused the tenets of this wisdom, you know, and abused, you know, their subordinates in a way in which that suits them. And that brings out great anger in our hearts and minds. And then we see those people suffering. So, you know, so every time we hear anything related to, you know, oh, women must do this and women must do that, you know, some of our past difficult experiences that we have seen or we have experienced come to haunt us. And then all that anger comes forth. So, you know, we get so overtaken by those experiences that, you know, we want to block anything new that we hear, you know, or any wisdom that we hear about the same points, because we've seen the negative side of it. So we're not able to digest, see anything positive because we have suffered or we've seen other people suffer. So then what happens is that we usually start criticizing the standards because we're not able to see the benefit behind that. And truly so, this is natural and it happens. So what I would really request all of us to do is, you know, yes, those past experiences have been painful, and yes, there has been, you know, people, you have witnessed cruel abuse of power, cruel abuse of these tenets of Vedic wisdom, and, you know, we know those experiences have been true for you. But while you go through the learning today and through the next few weeks, you know, let's keep that on the side and let's see for what these teachings are worth and what was the true purpose of those teachings. And so then you'll be able to draw a contrast between the true value of these teachings versus the misuse or the abuse of those teachings, and then choose for yourself. So please keep that open-mindedness. And another very important thing is, from acceptance comes transformation. So, you know, like some of us have the nature of, at least that's what we've experienced while we have been serving. You know, we have this nature of being, you know, we hear standards. You're going to hear a lot of standards, you know, that this is the Vedic standard for this is the standard for a woman. This is the, you know, the highest, you know, dharma or the highest activity that a woman can engage in. So you're going to hear a lot of these kind of things as we go. But, you know, another request we have is that we want to first accept ourselves for where we are in this journey. And we may not be able to immediately apply everything because of all our, you know, because of our psychophysical natures. So it's nice to understand those things first and take gradual steps towards applying it. Otherwise, we may not be able to apply it immediately, and we may, you know, fall flat and then not see the benefit of those things. So, you know, please be compassionately aware of where you are, and, you know, and also see the gap between your state and the ideal state that you would want to be. And what is pleasing to the Lord is the steps we take to make progress. He's not judging us as to whether we are the most perfect being or not. He's just watching our sincerity and being pleased with that. That okay, I'm trying. And you know, our only desire to go through this is just to be greater service to the Lord, and you know, like that. And when we go through this seminar, we will understand a lot of things about how society must be, how superiors must behave, how men must behave. And, you know, what kind of protection that the government needs to offer, and what kind of protection the superiors need to offer, and how they need to support and all. And, you know, through this seminar, we will learn a lot of these things, but it's not going to be easy for us to change the system or to educate other people in changing themselves. So at least the way I see it is, I don't want my personal growth and personal journey to be blocked waiting for someone else to change, you know. Because I can't change the person. So the only thing I can do is that I can change myself and make progress like that. So I don't want to say that, oh, because I don't have these things, I can't make this, I can't take this step. No, I'd rather be in a place where I don't have this ideal situation. Okay, how can I still make progress? And a lot of examples that we see from contemporary women and from women that have been described in, you know, different scriptures from different religions, will not be from, you know, where they were in some perfect situations and they were able to still do, you know, and because of those perfect situations, they were able to follow certain things. We are going to see a lot of examples where they were not in perfect situations. And, you know, I don't know how many of us have seen it like that, though we keep harping on that. Like, if you look at Kunti Devi, you know, even if she was in the Vedic times where things were supposed to be perfect, she was a single mother raising 5 children. She was a woman who had hostile in-laws who were ready to, like, you know, her brother-in-law or, you know, the nephews-in-law who were ready to, you know, like, there was danger of life, actually, living together with them. Or if you look at Draupadi, she was a woman who had 5 husbands, but none of them came forward to protect her. Or if you look at, you know, there are different women. Like, there was a woman who was married to a very irritable man, you know, Sukanya. And or there were women who wanted to go further, make progress in their spiritual lives, but they were not supported by their husbands, like, you know, the wives of the Brahmanas in the Lord Krishna's pastime. And also there have been, you know, there have been working women also. If you read the Krishna book, there are, the gopis were basically, you know, women from the business class, and they were helping in, you know, agriculture and cow protection and, you know, getting those milk goods ready and then taking them out to sell. Or if you look at the fruit seller who comes to give fruits to Lord Baby Krishna, she's also a woman who's trying to make, you know, make a living. There were so many maid servants of so many queens. Like when Devahuti got married, I don't remember, but there were thousands of maid servants that she went with. You know, so there were so many of these working women. They were called as dasis, or they were called as maidservants. Or there were, you know, this woman in the Krishna book who her job is to make nice scented ointments for Kamsa. You know, this woman's name was Kubja Trivakra. She was bent in three different places. So that was her occupation. So there were so many different women of so many different statuses and calibers and things like that. And they were not in ideal situations. So we can't wait for an ideal situation to set up for us to be able to follow our, you know, to make progress in our lives. You know, we want to go beyond the odds and we want to go further without, you know, ideal situations happening. And we will go through a lot of these things. You know, we're not saying that there's no place for these kind of questions or there are no place for feelings that, oh, you know, my situation is so difficult. Yes, you know, but we will also learn how to care for ourselves. You know, that's an important part of homemaking, is to learn how to care for our emotions and feelings and, you know, do all of those things and to acknowledge what we're going through, the reality of what we're going through. So that's going to be one of the sessions in the future. So thank you for bearing with me. So like the basis of this homemaking seminar is not like, you know, you have all of these Martha Stewart books which talk about homemaking and entertaining and fine dining and napkins and, you know, and then there are all these electronic gadgets that you have and, you know, the different ways in which you can lay out your furniture and what's the latest color and what's the color of the season and what's the newest recipe and what's the newest you know, furniture style, and, you know, what are the, how you keep your garden and how you keep your indoors and what kind of lighting you need to have. You know, we're not, our basis is not a deluxe edition of a home life that we already are living. You know, so we're already living in a certain way. We're not talking about how do we improve the material aspect of our homes. You know, that, I guess there's a lot of resources for that all around us. And, you know, there's no need for having another seminar on that. You know, I'm sure Martha Stewart and Oprah and, you know, all these different women have Ms. Gady Goot books, or, you know, I don't even know all their names, but they've done a great job in giving all of these resources to us, and we respect them for that. Our basis is not, you know, a deluxe edition of a home life, you know, or an advanced luxurious edition of our home life. That's not what our purpose for homemaking here is. Our purpose is, as spirit souls, you know, whether we're in a man's body or in a woman's body, or we're in an adult body or in a child's body or in an older body, our purpose is to revive our lost relationship with Krishna. So the entire basis here is the understanding that I'm spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. I'm different from this body. And, you know, Lord Sri Krishna, whom we in the Bhakti Yoga, Gaudiya Vaishnava, Bhakti Yoga tradition, you know, we know him as the Supreme Lord, and he's the all-attractive one. And each and every individual soul has a unique relationship with him. And Krishna is deeply invested in each of the unique relationships he has with each one of us. And he's there residing in our hearts right now. So our basis of doing this homemaking seminar is that how following the duties of homemaking properly and following the duties of womanhood properly is going to give us success in other aspects of our life, but is going to give us success in the most important aspect of our life, which is to revive our lost relationship with the Lord. You know, so how those duties help us get there. So that is what our endeavor is going to be. And so if you look at this nice picture we have here, is that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. As you can see here in this picture, you know, there is this nice, you know, there are these nice relationships that all of these devotees have of serving Lord Krishna and, you know, different relationships as friends or as paramours or as parents or as, you know, servants or as, you know, so many different relationships that we have over here. And we all were part of this beautiful spiritual world, perfect spiritual world, which had no issues, no troubles, no quarrels, no hypocrisy, no anxiety. It was a perfect place. And we chose to come away, go away from there, to leave the Lord's association. And actually that's place, the spiritual world, you know, every step, every word is a song and every step is a dance. And there's only bliss in service to Krishna over there. And Krishna very lovingly reciprocates with all of us. So the point is that we are spirit souls. We chose to leave the association of the Lord. As you can see in this picture, the bottom of the picture where Lord Vishnu is lying down, you see this, you know, white-bodied soul leaving all of that, saying no to all of that, and wanting to live separately from Krishna. So we all chose to stay away from Krishna, wanted to go away from Krishna. And we wanted to come to this material world, cross over that Viraja River and come to this material world to enjoy separately from him. So we wanted to be our own Krishna. We wanted to be a mini controller, mini proprietor, mini enjoyer. So we came here. And, you know, why we did that and, you know, what is the material world? What is the spiritual world? You know, unfortunately, we're not able to devote enough time to that in this seminar. That's a separate, you know, course in itself that we do at the Vedic Cultural Center, which is called as Discover Yourself. And if anyone is wanting to know more about that or wanting to attend that online or wanting to hear recordings of that, please connect with me through the, you know, through wherever you got this seminar from. You know, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or my email, please feel free to connect me with that and I'll send you that information. But this is the basis, you know, that we've chosen to go away from him and come to this world and, you know, enjoy separately and have our own setup. Just like, you know, sometimes people live, you know, like the children live together with the parents and then once they get married, they want to have their own setup. They want to have their own kitchen. They want to have their own source of income. They want to have their own lifestyle. They want to, you know, have their own ways of spending their time. You know, they don't want to be with the parents. So, you know, it's an independent free choice that we've made. And Krishna, you know, being a very loving personality and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, allowed us to have that choice. And he supported us in our choice. So he created this entire material world for us. And, you know, we all have our individual setups and we are the controllers and the lords of our individual setups, as much as we want to think like that. So, you know, we have so many different desires of enjoying separately from Krishna. I mean, we're not thinking about God all the time while we're doing different things. No, we're thinking about ourselves and how to please ourselves and, you know, how to please people around us and how to get the best in our lives and how to achieve the best. And, you know, we're thinking mostly about ourselves. We're not thinking about Krishna. So we have these desires of enjoying separately from Krishna. So because of that, what has happened is we've forgotten that we had this beautiful, very loving relationship with the Lord, you know. So we have forgotten that, but the Lord is not forgotten that. So since the time we left the spiritual world, Krishna is hankering for us, is thinking about us, and is waiting for us to come back. And while we're trying to enjoy in so many different ways, I'm sure we all have had moments where we felt extremely lost, lonely, empty, unhappy. Yes? Because just like it's the nature of the fish to survive only in water, the fish can only get oxygen in water, cannot survive outside of water. Similarly, it's the nature of the soul to be in bliss, but that is possible only when it is in relationship with Krishna and when the soul is with Krishna and engaged in activities of serving Krishna and the Lord, Bhakti Yoga. You know, so that's our actual nature, but because we are away from him, we have forgotten that relationship, and without him, we're not able to be happy as much as we try hard to do that. The basis, as I said, is that we want to revive this lost relationship with Krishna. So all these different rules and regulations that we have in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition of Bhakti Yoga, or if you may see the other bona fide religions of Islam or Christianity or others, you know, the entire idea behind all of them is to help people who are following that faith to connect, reconnect with the Lord, to reconnect, to revive their lost relationship with the Lord. And because we are followers of the Bhakti Yoga tradition in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and we're following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we follow these processes of chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, serving the Lord directly through his personal form, in the deity form, or through spreading his word, spreading his glories. So these are some of the methods by which we revive our loving connection with Krishna. Now, what happens is that the basis is our relationship with Krishna, and there are these direct activities to reconnect. So that is the purpose of this human life, is to come out of the cycle of birth, disease, old age, and death, by engaging in these direct activities to reconnect with the Lord. And we already discussed some of these, which is chanting the holy names, reading spiritual books, having a diet of sanctified food, food that has been first offered to the Lordships, and also making friendship with like-minded people who are also trying to follow a lifestyle like that, follow this path. And we engage in loving service to Krishna. So while we engage in these activities, and we can call these as spiritual dharma, dharma, you know, while we're taking care of the spiritual needs, and you know, the real needs of the spirit soul that we are, we have to understand that, you know, we are these spirit souls having a human experience, where we are trying to, you know, we're covered with these bodies and we have these minds that we have to deal with. So what the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition or the Bhakti Yoga tradition or different traditions across the world acknowledge and understand is that because we are spirit souls embodied, you know, covered by this body, you know, it's very difficult for us to, you know, forget this identity that we have with respect to this body and only think of our identity as eternal servant, spirit soul, servant of Krishna. And, you know, it's very difficult to overcome all these different desires that we have to enjoy separately from Krishna and all of that. So that is one aspect. And another thing is because this body is a vehicle and the mind is a vehicle that has been given to us so that we can perfect our lives in serving the Lord in this lifetime and go back to Krishna, it's very important to properly care for the body and the mind and the society in order to attain the higher bliss of serving Krishna. So if somebody has a disturbed mind or a disturbed health, it's very difficult to engage in the activities of spiritual dharma or the direct activities to reconnect. So there is a proper system by which we can learn how to take care of the body and the mind and the society and learn how to function in society. And that system also has been very compassionately given to us by Lord Sri Krishna. And that system is called as Varnashram Dharma, which we will discuss in great detail in the next call. So just try to understand and remember this thing that we have these duties that are also related to the body, so which are described by Krishna in his system in the Varnashram Dharma. And Krishna is really not achieving anything out of us doing our duties properly. That system has been given where there's a description of society, there's a description of duties for men, duties for women, different types of natures, different types of psychologies, and based on that, what kind of activities you can engage in. All those, by following those things, you know, Krishna is not benefiting. It's actually for us to help us regulate our bodies and minds so that we can be peaceful. And we can then think of the higher aspects of life, which is the direct activities to reconnect. So there are some quotes on this Varnashram Dharma that we can read. Like there is this thing, you know, one of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition that we all belong to. And he was the father of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, very, very elevated being. His name is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And he was also a householder. He was a married man and he had 9 children. And he has written very profound literatures in the practicalities and, you know, ways in which we can apply bhakti yoga. And, you know, there are some things that he has spoken about this particular system given by Krishna to help us make our bodies and minds peaceful. So I'll read it out. So he says in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and he says, though a person situated in the world may accept spiritual dharma, he does not give up the rules of mundane dharma, for the rules of Varnashram still assist him in supporting his body, mind, and social environment. Being comfortable as a result of proper body, mind, and surroundings, he is able to attain the eternal bliss of worshipping the Lord. So this is saying the same thing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So whatever we explained so far is based on this particular quote and, you know, all the different reasons why this important system, and Krishna explains why the system is there. He explains it in the Bhagavad Gita. And then Bhakti Vinod also says, and I won't read the whole quote, but he also says in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how can the seed of devotion, faith, awaken in the heart if a person dies prematurely or develops mental problems and never learns anything about spirit? And if a person gives up the rules Of Varnashram and acts as he pleases, his physical and mental actions will be like those of a madman. He will be engaged in the worst sins. No sign of bhakti will be available. So, you know, there are some conduct, there are some rules and regulations for us to be able to come on the human platform of life. And once we are at the human platform of life, then we can think about higher spiritual topics. So just to give you an example of this, you know, say if you don't sleep very well, your life is not very regulated, you don't sleep very well, and you probably sleep like 4 hours every day. And it's not that the entire day is like a casual day for you. You're working very hard and you're working, you know, dealing with some very intense technical topics. And, or, you know, you're not sleeping well and, you know, you got to take care of, you know, an ill person, or you got to take care of your children. And you can do that on 1 day, 2 days or 3 days. But if that becomes your lifestyle, you know, how is that going to affect you emotionally? And how is that going to affect your productivity as an individual? Right? So this is exactly what is being explained here, that, hey, you got to take care of your body and mind in a proper way. And then you can take care of your, it's very important to take care of that so that you can do your bhakti properly. So as I said, the basis of this homemaking seminar is not to have a deluxe edition of the home life that we already have. The basis is that how can we have a secure, well-functioning, regulated, timely, orderly home so that we can focus on the essential, which is our relationship with Krishna. So, as we'd already discussed, what is the reason behind a seminar on homemaking? So the point is, when your mind is peaceful, your heart becomes a suitable place for the Lord to reside. That's important. Your mind has to be peaceful. You cannot you tell a hungry person to come to the, you know, constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. You know, the person first has to take care of his hunger. So we try to take care of the hunger of the person, take care of the physical needs, and then that helps, enhances the focus on your spiritual life. But having said that, it is not that first you take care of all your physical and mental and emotional needs and, you know, just perfect that for the next 20 years of your life. And then after 20 years, you can focus on spiritual. No, that's not how it works. We do it parallelly. The better you get at regulating yourself, the better you are able to focus on your spiritual life. So spiritual still comes first. And we do these physical and emotional things, you know, taking care of the body and mind to support the spiritual. So the spiritual is the main thing. That should be the main focus of our lives. So this is the basis. So when the mind becomes peaceful, the heart becomes a suitable place for the Lord to reside. And a lot is said about this homemaking being a woman's function. And, you know, how a woman, by doing this homemaking function really well, by taking care of the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of her family, by backing them up, by supporting them, how it helps the entire family advance in a spiritual, God-conscious, Krishna-conscious way, and how that is so important, and how each and every detail of homemaking, right from keeping the house clean to not having cobwebs in the house, to having decorative art forms in the house, to having, you know, proper food, healthful and tasty and colorful food, all of these things have been described in our Shastra. Sanctified, which has been offered to Krishna, and having proper furniture arrangements, to having proper social relationships, to having proper self-emotional regulation and focusing on our own spiritual life, how all of these things help enhance, help take care of the physical and emotional needs of the family so that they can take care of the spiritual needs, so that they can focus on advancing together in reviving their lost relationship with Krishna. So the idea is not that take care of your physical and emotional needs so nicely so that you have very beautiful relationships with each other. Yes, that's a nice side effect. And that's a good purpose to have, because, you know, it's important to have peace in the house for you to be able to, you know, focus on the higher purposes of life. But that's not the only goal. The main goal is the focus on the spiritual life. So we're going to go into individual details as we progress, right from dressing up to cleaning to cooking to so many things, as you will see in the topics that come. Now, one question that often comes up, and it comes up in, you know, all of our minds, is, yes, women are being trained as homemakers, and we're doing this seminar, we're doing this training, but what about training for men? You know, what about training them? because they have an important function also. It's important for a man to do his duties towards a good wife. Or there may be homes without men, there may be single women, and things like that. So let's first focus on homes that have men, able men, where the family systems are, you know, man and woman and children and dependents and living in society. So there needs to be training for men, and there has to be training for men. So the way we see it is that, as we already discussed, if the men are not trained, what can a woman do to still enhance that, you know, enhance the physical, emotional, and spiritual lives of her family? So we are going to go into that. And we want to develop training modules for men also, and share with them things that they need to do in order to help their family advance. You know, take care of the needs of the family, the wife, the children, the dependents, so that they can be happy and they can also further advance in spiritual life. And another very important thing that we see as a part of training for men is that if women can understand, you know, the importance of some of these things that we will cover in the seminar, then they are impacting the next generation. So they are training the boys that will become men in the future. So we will be giving duties of men also, and something that all women can focus. And they are going to impact the girls that they're raising in their house. And another very interesting thing I heard very recently is that if a woman is convinced about spirituality, and if she uses her intelligence properly, then she knows how to encourage the man to do his duties in a very encouraging and supporting way. So that's another thing, that responsibility each one of us can take to the extent to which it is possible in your households, based on your relationships and your family dynamics. And we also want to come up with, as we said, we also want to come up with resources for men. In fact, when we look at Narad Muni's teachings, he has devoted a lot more verses on, you know, what the duties of men are. He's only probably given just 5 verses on duties for women, but the men have to read those things. Right? So our basis is also, you know, we're going to go based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to go in depth on Srila Prabhupada's purports, explanations to Narad Muni's instructions on this Varnashram Dharma, basically this society system, social system, duty system that Lord Krishna has given us. And Narad Muni has spoken extensively on society, on duties for men and women in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto. Now, I would be really happy, and I would love to share all the verses with you. There are 5 verses that he gives on duties for women. But I chose not to do that today. I'd do that in the subsequent seminars. Because for us to able to understand those verses properly, we have to understand, you know, the system right now and the, you know, the psychology that we have right now, the social system and the countries and the laws and, you know, those kind of things that have influenced us, that have conditioned us in a certain way. And if we don't set the proper context, and if we jump to Narad Muni's teachings directly, we may not be able to appreciate them. So the first context is we are spirit, souls, part and parcel of Krishna that we've tried to establish here. And the essence of all the duties that we do, the purpose of all the duties that we do, whether it's at the material platform or at the spiritual platform, is to revive our relationship with the Lord. And we also want to understand Krishna's Varnashram system, which is to help pacify the body and the mind and keep it regulated so that we can focus on spiritual topics. So next week we're going to cover that. So once we have those few contexts in place, then we're going to look in depth into Narad Muni's teachings and the practicalities of that. We're going to look at those from the social standpoint, from the psychological standpoint, from the spiritual standpoint, and from a personal growth standpoint. So we're going to cover that, but we would still like to give you those in essence. We'd like to give you the points. What are the elements of Narad Muni's instructions for women? So he talks about home duties, the duties that a woman can do in her house and towards her family, service towards her family, which is, you know, right from the elders to the relatives to the husband to the children, like that, the behavior of a woman, you know, and if that behavior is in place, what are the benefits of that? If that behavior is not in place, you know, what happens? And basically, not just how it impacts society and family, but how it impacts the woman herself when you know, she has a certain nature. What are the effects of that nature? And also service towards society. You know, basically, if you, there's a very interesting thing we were reading while we were researching some American history. We'll get into the details of that next time. But to give you a brief idea, like, you know, there were, so the British wanted to, you know, come to this new land of the United States of America. And they sent a lot of different companies. And before the British, I guess there was also the French colonies and so many other colonies here. But before even colonies, there were, like, you know, business companies that were coming here to set up and to exploit or to explore business opportunities to see what kind of resources are available and all of that. So a lot of different people were transported from Europe, from the UK, to come to America and work. So one such company set up its base in Virginia, in the state of Virginia. And they sent a lot of men to work, and there was a lot of good, you know, opportunities there and the kind of work they did. But after a while, after a few years of men coming and working, what the company owner started feeling is that the men were losing their motivation. And the men were not able to perform their work with so much enthusiasm. And then once they made some money, they all wanted to go back, or they wanted to join a different company, or they wanted to leave Virginia and go somewhere else. And it was defeating the purpose of the people who were owning those companies, that, hey, we invested so much in bringing these men here and setting up homes for them and, you know, fighting with the natives and doing all of these things, and now they just aren't inspired. So then one of them felt that, hey, you know, we can't just think of this as an industry. We have to help these men feel settled here, you know, as if this were their own home. So what they did, they sent an ad in the UK, and they invited young women to come to this new land, free passage, and they were going to be given money for that, and they were also promised a husband. So a lot of women who wanted to explore a new place, or they were probably frustrated with their lives there, or, you know, the promise of a new place and money and free passage and adventure, I think about 100 women boarded the ship and they came to Virginia. And it's only once those women came that, and they, you know, then these men and women, probably they set up some kind of systems by which, you know, these men and women could meet and get married and, you know, all of that, that, you know, the entire civilization started. Otherwise, it was just men living in bunkers and, you know, having some common places to eat and, you know, do whatever. But once they started getting, you know, the women here, and these men started getting a sense of family and home and children, and, you know, then these women also formed the society and the relationships within the society and the loving exchanges between the society members, that those men decided not to leave the place, and they found that there was a lower attrition rate, and then people were able to live together. So the, I mean, I'm not saying that what those company people did in exploiting the natives or doing any of those things, we're not here to discuss that. What we're trying to tell you through this example is that these women came here to, you know, without the women, there was no society. And once the women came in, the men also were pacified, because there was this feminine energy taking care of the men. And there was a sense of society and relationship. So, you know, there's a lot of onus on relationships happen only because of the women. You know, relationships between families and things like that are possible only because of women. Like, you know, deeper relationships, really loving relationships like that. And we will talk about that also. And then women, excuse me, Naramuni also talks about, you know, the spirituality of the woman and how important that is for a woman to be very grounded in herself, in her own spirituality, so that she could really provide direction to the family. So these are some of the elements. Now, when we see these elements, we find that these are a little difficult to perform. Okay, there's another interesting point. So these are difficult to perform. But these duties that Narad Muni has talked about, as I already discussed, are similar across world cultures and religions. And at one level, what Narad Muni speaks there in those five verses are duties for a woman. But at another level, if we don't think about those duties as, you know, duties for a woman, but if we read the way in which Narad Muni has spoken, his instructions actually cut across gender barriers, because there's a deeper parallel here. You know, how can a woman be pure? So basically, how can a soul be pure? And how can a soul relate itself to the Lord and be subservient to the Lord and have a clean temple for the Lord? Like if they're talking about home duties and cook for the Lord, home duties again. Or how should a soul behave with the Lord? Or how should a soul serve the different parts and parcels of the Lord? Service to family or service to society? And how can the soul maintain its own spirituality and relationship for the Lord? So we want to see all of those things, and those things will be more clear next time. So now we have these duties, we have these understanding, and we all have some understanding of what a woman's duties are, which we will go into detail. But there's another thing, that there are various barriers that come to a woman's pure service. So many times we want to follow this, some of these things, but it becomes difficult. And we want to also, through the course of the seminar, acknowledge some of those difficulties and barriers and see what we can do in practical ways to deal with them. You know, because we can't just say that this is not there and we got to still do follow what Narad Muni is saying perfectly. No, there are going to be challenges. Because what are those challenges? Because we don't have a proper social environment. We don't have the proper social structure in place that is needed for anybody to perform their duties properly. And also this other thing, how we have all been, you know, psychologically, you know, particular age of enjoyment is progressing, you know, how we are all conditioned into believing that the purpose of my life is to enjoy. And if anything comes in the way of that enjoyment, I'm going to reject it. I'm only going to accept those things that help me enjoy and help me achieve what I want to achieve in the material sense. And, you know, this is like, you know, the declaration or basically the constitution, like life, liberty and pursuit of happiness. That's what the American Constitution, you know, says. And that's what it has. That, you know, the goal is life and freedom and the pursuit of happiness. And that was the promise that when they had the Freedom Declaration from the United Kingdom, the Americans had that. That was the declaration that was signed by the UK. And a lot of people were attracted to this land because of this life and liberty and pursuit of happiness. They wanted to just come here so that they could give up all the norms and all the social norms and all those rules and regulations and do what they want to do. So when what happens is that this has become, and America is kind of a leader in society, in the world, and usually people want to follow what the Americans do. What has happened is that this American way of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which can be seen positively, actually, that, you know, we want to give up certain things so that we can really have real happiness in the spiritual realm. But it's understood in a negative connotation, because this is about how can I enjoy material nature more and more? And how is my enjoyment top priority? And this has become very embedded in the psyche of people. So anything that challenges that, whether it's conforming to a role or conforming to certain duties, you know, we all tend to reject that. I'm not just saying women, but we all tend to reject that. I tend to reject that too. So we want to overcome that. And also we already discussed that, you know, another barrier is that we've seen that how these people have abused these rules to be, you know, for some kind of cruelty they've meted out to women or their subordinates. So that becomes a barrier. Sometimes you try to be a good person and you try to follow certain rules and regulations, but you find yourself being exploited. And then it becomes confusing for you whether you should, you know, think about self-preservation or think by, you know, protecting yourself from the cruelty, or whether you want to still continue doing your duties in spite of being, you know, not being treated properly. And then, you know, there are, you know, the landscape has changed. We've discussed there have been some working women in the past, but what kind of work they did, what kind of environment in which they worked, and not just working women, you know, men were not in these kind of this is all a change that this whole industrial revolution and the different world wars have brought about. In the past, in whichever culture you study, you know, there were no men who were working technical jobs in offices, going away from their home and working somewhere and, you know, having some highly technical, high-pressure jobs. And, you know, neither was it like that for women. So we also want to acknowledge that, you know, when women are working, there are a lot of pressures. Then also there are a lot of lack of good examples around us. Like sometimes we want to sincerely follow something, but we don't know how to. So, you know, there is a lack of examples. And also sometimes when people are trying to follow, you know, some of these principles very sincerely, you know, the social environment doesn't appreciate it anymore. You know, there was a time when, you know, just an example, a woman who chose to stay at home and take care of her children was appreciated. But now they say, oh, what are you doing at home the whole day? You know, you can send your kids to daycare. You know, and then, you know, that puts some kind of pressure that, oh, you're just sitting at home doing nothing. and you're not making good use of your education, and you're not making, you should go out and do some work and get a life and learn something new and all. So this is where society is going, and it becomes hard, then to stay connected to your purpose and your focus and to keep yourself inspired when you're not in a favorable environment. So we also want to recognize these things. I'm sorry, I'm a little over time, but we'll just cover, what different topics we're going to cover. So we're going to cover the Varnashram system in the future. We're going to cover self-care for a woman, because for a woman to have this role of, to do her role, it's very important that she learns how to take care of herself. And then how a woman is a navigator for family spirituality and how she can do it. And the importance for system, order, and regulation in the house, prasadam science, home arts, and then also, surrounding yourself with beauty in the house, because how beauty is important, beauty connected to Krishna. Then lifespan development and child raising, understand how people grow, what are the mental and physical changes that happen to them, so whether it's the elders or whether it's the children, understanding lifespans. And also understanding the very important, one of the very important roles of a woman who is a mother is to take care of her child. Understanding family and community relationships and support for dependents. So these are some of the topics we will cover. If you would like us to cover some more things, please ping us, through the different ways in which you know how to connect with us. And we will try to include that in this seminar. Is there any, sorry for going a little over time. I will plan better next time. So next week, what we will discuss next week, okay, let's get to that also. We're going to discuss Varnashram Dharma, understanding of who's the enjoyer and who's the enjoyed. Understanding how duties, this is a very important topic as a part of the Varnashram Dharma, how duties defined according to our psychophysical nature help us perfect ourselves. So Krishna recognizes each one of us has a certain type of nature, and he has defined duties according to our nature that can help us perfect ourselves and help us make a positive contribution to the society Krishna envisions, and to help him form that positive society by doing our role, which is a very, very powerful role. And some of the references that we have from today, like where do we, like, we've referred to Srila Prabhupada's purports for the seventh canto from the Bhagavad Gita also. And we've heard this lecture, Kaustubha Prabhu's lecture, Seeing Dharma in Action and Result. And also Chaitanya Charan Prabhu's lecture, Can Women Do Job? Like, that's a nice lecture for all of us to hear, because he talks about, how difficult it is right now, with the way we're being raised, the way, the kind of pressures that are there on a family, that it becomes important to support. And sometimes it's a woman's desire to do that, and we want to respect that also. We want to respect where each one of us is at. So thank you very much. Are there any questions, or is there any discussion or anything that the people from the conference call would like to speak up? We're willing to hear. And also people on YouTube can put your comments in the comment field, and we will try to respond to that. We will keep that for the next 5 minutes. Then end this call, and we will send you these slides. The people on the conference call couldn't get these slides, so we will send these slides to everyone for your reference, and we will also send you the recording that has happened on YouTube with these slides and the voice. And next time I will try to have the camera on, so there can be a personal, you can see who I am also. So, and whether you, yeah. So anything, any comments people would like to share on the conference call or through YouTube? Anything at all? Yeah, I would love to make this more interactive, but the challenge is that a lot of people can't join the conference call because of some reasons, and then I have to do it also on YouTube. And then on YouTube, it becomes a little difficult to be interactive unless people put something on their comments, and we can respond to that. We would like to keep this interactive because then that enhances learning, and then we also get to hear different points of views, and that enhances the learning of everyone else who is joining together. All right, then, if there is nothing much from people around, we would like to wrap up the session today. So the main point is the purpose of this homemaking seminar is to help us keep a good environment in the house, to keep the body and the mind regulated so that we can focus on the higher principle. And the higher principle of our life and the purpose that has been defined, the purpose of this human form of life, is to reconnect with or to rekindle our lost relationship, our dormant relationship with the Lord. So our relationship is in a dormant stage right now. And by properly taking the care of the body and the mind, according to how Krishna expects us to do it, you know, it's going to have a positive impact on our spiritual lives. And if our spiritual lives are good, it automatically impacts our material life also in a positive way. So, you know, it's like watering the root and getting to the point. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And yes, we will send the links to the reference lectures also. Thank you. So I'll end the broadcast. Thank you. Okay.